I am Bishop Ambrose Griffiths, who used to be the Bishop of Hexham and Newcastle, and having retired from that, I have now returned to the parish where I was parish priest before, and I am now working there as assistant priest. That's in Leyland, just south of Preston.
But you might be an assistant priest, but you've just welcomed very beautifully the relics of Saint Therese.
Yes, well, one of my duties is to be the superior of the Carmelite convent in Preston, which is on the main road to the north out of Preston. I'm there called Fulwood. I'm their superior. It's quite a small community, but they're very privileged to have the relics of St. Teresa here today. It just happens to be on the direct route between Liverpool, where it's come from, and Lancaster, to which it is going. So they are very, very privileged indeed. The other Carmels in the area were privileged to assemble for the night in Liverpool Cathedral, where they spent the whole night in prayer. They turned the cathedral into a Carmel for the night, and there were four Carmels assembled there.
And it's very nice because here you've got the Carmelite nuns and you've got the Carmelite friars all together for the occasion.
Yes, a great advantage of this Carmel is that they have a lovely place called Tabor with two Carmelite friars, which has become a very popular spiritual centre, does a great deal of good. They have open house and many, many conferences and groups and gatherings take place there. It's only about half a mile away from here.
And it's a very beautiful thing that the relics, which have attracted so many thousands of people, are coming to this little Carmel in Preston, which isn't very big.
No, but at the moment it's larger than you might think, because it also has the community from Golders Green in London are also staying here on a longish term basis. They are hoping to join another Carmel eventually, but that will take time.
So what does it mean to Carmelites, both the nuns and the friars, to have Saint Therese visit?
Well, St. Therese is very precious to them, and so naturally to have our relics is a great privilege. The relics, of course, are a symbol of our presence. It's not her, of course, herself. But we are people of flesh and blood, and we need physical things that we can see and venerate. That's always been the case. After all, in the early church, the Christians went in huge numbers into the catacombs to venerate the tombs of the martyrs. Used to say, celebrate Eucharist down there.
And one of the beauties of this tour, we've seen that the Carmelite nuns, who usually live such a hidden life, have been able to mix with the general population who have come to venerate the relics. And so in a real way, although they're hidden, they're also spreading a special message.
They are, and people are learning what their message is, really, because St. Therese puts it in very simple terms which people can actually relate to, understand and follow themselves. I'm delighted that the Carmelite sisters especially are getting this publicity, because they do seriously need new members. They have been declining in numbers, and I think it's partly because no one hears about them. And this is a great occasion when large numbers of schoolchildren will be here in the course of the day, and they will get a message, I hope, and it set people thinking. You never know when an odd remark actually sets someone on a train of thought which leads to a vocation.
Yes, because the Carmelites, the Poor Clares, Poor Clare Collatines, Redemptoristines, all the enclosed religious do a tremendous amount of work through prayer.
Oh, tremendous, yes. Well, when I was a bishop, when everything was very, very important done, I always contacted the Poor Clare convent and the Carmelite convent and asked them to pray. I remember one occasion we had bought a site for a youth village. So we got a very good youth work going on there. And we were applying for planning permission to develop it. And we got all the indications were that we were going to be passed with ease. And about a week before the final meeting, we heard that the pandas were going to recommend it should be rejected. And so we asked them to pray. And to our amazement, when the actual meeting of the council came, the first councillor to speak, "I think these objections are absolutely ridiculous. I suggest we vote it in." We voted for it unanimously.
It's a wonderful example of the power of prayer.
And almost never does a council go against the recommendation of their functionaries.
It's a wonderful example of the power of prayer. Well, let's hope that Preston during these 3 hours can be a real powerhouse of prayer.
Indeed. That's why I've come to pray.